Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I sit down with a couple of UK pastors, Graham Nichols and Mark Bentham. Well, it's summertime, it's boiling in this room, and that means after this episode, it's time for us Ordinary Boys to have a little break. But we leave you with this final episode of Season 3, reflecting on the mixed emotions of Freedom Day and some thoughts about how to best utilise your time off over summer. We have book recommendations, podcast recommendations, and a bunch of other helpful thoughts. So enjoy the episode, and I'll catch you on the other side.
For the last time before the summer break, my name is Graham Nichols.
I still am, Mark Bentham.
And you might still be afterwards. And Josh, you might be somebody.
I'm Josh Bannister, yeah. That's who I am. I think that I am going to fall asleep during this podcast, by the way, because the room I'm sitting in is, like, so hot. And I have the window open, but it doesn't help. Because I'm in, like, the top floor of this building, which is from 17 Tickety 2. And the conditions are sweaty, to say the least. So apologies if I'm drowsy.
Do you know, talking about whether you are still alive or not, there's just a whole thread of people who are in my contact.
He really is.
Sort of. Let me finish my point, which is there's a death date that you can sort of Google if you put in parameters about your age and various health conditions, and they actually give you a date. Yeah. And these guys who are sort of in their 60s, there's a little sort of network of them in affinity who are in a group with me, and they've all done it, and some of them are, nearly all of them are past their statistical death
date. Oh my goodness, that's terrifying.
But it's, yes, a weird thing. I think, yeah.
What date did you get, Graham?
I didn't do it. I refused to do it because, I, knowing my character, I would just think too
when it comes
about
up as the 23rd of August, 2021.
You know, there's an IT crowd episode that is literally based around that whole thing.
It's called Death Clock, deathclock.com.
Yeah. Well, that's really helpful. But I believe in the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus, and he will discern when I die. And when
I think that's the right answer, which is why I brought it up. But I still think it was an interesting phenomenon.
For a bit of fun, I'm sure it's good.
It's a great bit of fun to know when you're going to die. Riot of a laugh. Right, shall we have some mail time before we do anything else?
Oh, have we got a jingle?
Yeah, we got the jingle. Mail time. We've had a message from Sam, which is a really good message. He thanks us for the podcast and says he values it, which is really appreciated. Thank you, Sam. And he has a question about worship and liturgy, especially in light of coming out of restrictions. He says that he feels like there's an opportunity to think over the basics of why we do the things we do and the way that we do them, and what we're actually doing when we gather together. Why sing? Why take communion the way we do? Different traditions and how they come from biblical understanding of worship. So, what is your thoughts on that, about priorities as restrictions ease and how to balance loving others and respecting the concerns of others?
Good question. There's lots in there, isn't there? It's a question
there is
more
a lot.
About how we worship, or more about what we do in terms of restrictions and loving out?
I think it's a question about whether the things we do in church are necessary, biblical mandate things, the way we do them, or whether we can change those things the way we do them. Are they traditions or are they biblical? And is the way we do them need to change given the concerns that people have and trying to love them in as restrictions are taken away? Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm taking from the question.
I think it's a really good question, because there's lots of things that we do in church, even outside of COVID, where you could say, well, if we're loving, should we sing every kind of possible song genre?
Yeah.
Or should we have all songs and not much preaching because people prefer the songs? Or should we have no prayers because people fall asleep in the prayers? Or should we have longer prayers because prayer is really good? So there's always a kind of balancing of biblical principles, but also people's preferences and what they've experienced in the past. So I think COVID has just exposed that even more. And we'll maybe talk about that a little bit when we talk about the news of the sort of restrictions changing.
But
I think it's a constant thing, isn't it? You know, working out, am I being selfish in the way I worship, or am I being principled?
But there are certain things that we, you know, so we would ascertain that part of gathering together is going to be preaching of God's word. We ascertain that we think it's right to sing, that God calls us to sing and praise His name. So even though we've been restrictions, we've changed how we've done that, but we have sung in the sense that we've had people sing at us on the screen. So we think music and praise is important. we think prayer and reading God's word and communion, they're all key kind of biblical mandated things that actually form part of a service that we are going to do. Then there's other stuff that you might have that, you know, isn't testimonies or mission reports or kind of fringe things that you may think about. So there's core stuff, and then how you do that core stuff, the Bible's less prescriptive about. There may be ways of, you know, you break up prayers. People say said prayers together, or it's led prayers. People Ooh. Sing psalms and chants, or, you know, kind of sing more contemporary songs. So there's a range within that. And I think, so, yeah, on that basis, there are things that are, we would say, are prescribed and mandated by Scripture, but the Scriptures then give wisdom in how we then do that within, particularly COVID, but also knowing your congregation, knowing the makeup of the body, what you believe, you know.
I think, agreeing with all of that, the reading of Scripture, the preaching of Scripture seem to be in the New Testament for obviously very important, but they're also something that the congregation experiences. And all the other things, I think, are things you'd say the congregation are expected to participate in. So to some degree, although we want to lead in prayer as part of leading worship, prayer times where we all pray are expected. Communion is definitely a participation thing. Singing is definitely a participation thing. And then all the wraparound of fellowship, they're all in the Bible as important things, aren't they?
Absolutely. That's helpful. I think you have, you know, that flexibility to then work out how those things have worked through, which is why you then get the difference in the life of the church.
Yeah, that's cool. Another piece of mail, I think, that Graham, you have to hand.
I have. It's from someone called Ollie, and he may have been in space when he did it. I don't know if he's been on any of those space trips, but he says, I think your free podcasts, on purity, dating, friendship have been brilliant. I've passed them on to people that head up our teenage work. It was great you included one with the ladies. They came across really well, and what a blessing to have mature, godly women like Sarah and Keturah in your church.
Yeah.
Amen.
So there's no question. There's just heaping praise on us, really.
No, that's wonderful.
But it was encouraging. We love it when people at least kind of acknowledge they're listening. That's really encouraging, and that if it's some use, we're happy.
Really encouraging,
it is. But it is super, listening to Sarah, Keturah and Abby last week, it was a really helpful, good podcast.
Well, that's good.
It was great to be able to hand the podcast over to them. I think we'll have to do it again.
I think we will, yeah, definitely. I think people appreciate it, and I thought they did a great job, yeah.
I was expecting a campaign of, you know, keep them on.
Sunday roundup show, did the sermon pass real slow? Did you plant some seed to grow? It's roundup time, what do you know?
Sunday morning, we looked at the calling of Matthew, the guy who becomes a disciple, who writes the gospel. And really interesting elements of the story, the calling of him, what he had to leave behind, his tax collecting job, how Jesus publicly calls him out, and then how Matthew throws a party, Jesus goes, Pharisees don't like it, they think he's associating with sinners and tax collectors, and Jesus gives his genius answer about he's come to the sick, he's like a doctor who's come to the sick, not to the healthy, but then manages to point out that they're sick as well because they have no mercy, they have no heart for people, and it's just kind of an outward religion. So that's quite a familiar story. There was, I think, lots of interesting and new things, but also just a great opportunity to just appeal to people that Jesus is for them, whoever they are. If they're feeling a bit self-righteous, if they're feeling a bit desperate, Jesus is for them.
Very nice, thank you. Okay, we'll do the news.
Are you going to put that on the podcast? Very nice, thank you.
No way. Cutting that out.
Time for news now. Give us your views. News.
Well, it's Wednesday today. We are 2 days post Freedom Day, as it's been dubbed, which means, well, it means you don't have to wear masks. It means you can have as many people as you want in your house. How that's working out in the real world might be slightly different than that. But significance of this, significance for church. I know that there's a little bit of fear and anxiety around the way that churches seem to be handling it, or different churches handling it in different ways at least. But let's have some reflections on Freedom Day.
I think significant for the whole country in that it does shift the balance mostly towards personal responsibility rather than government diktat. So I think it's significant. It's just been a bit miserable, isn't it, in all the kind of news reporting, because there's the pingdom thing, the pingdemic thing, of lots of people getting pinged through being close to someone. So that's kind of dampened the spirits of everyone. The number of cases is a bit dampening it. Boris Johnson and Chancellor being in isolation. So it feels kind of weird. I don't know what it felt like for everyone else, but it felt kind of weird, like there's all these new freedoms, but you kind of feel guilty about them.
Yes.
Like you've been given some amount of money that you didn't think you deserved, or some massive, massive cream cake that you then feel guilty eating.
Yeah. Are you aware of the phrase virtue signalling?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It feels like that's going to be a big part of life for a little bit, don't you think, with the whole mask culture and things?
Yeah. I mean, it may be me, but I took a photo of Sainsbury's where it said, wearing mask is now a personal choice. And then below it said, but please, if you can, wear a mask. I'm thinking, this is all wrong. This is either you want us to wear a mask in your supermarket or you don't. You're going to enforce it or you're not. Don't just try and make it a guilt thing, because I don't think that's a helpful way to live. So, yeah, that may be just me being weird about it.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I would have thought it's trying also just to... It's something that I think our culture struggles with, because we're so individualistic.
Yeah.
That actually, and I think as believers, it's a chance to model, isn't it? It's actually to be concerned, to consider others. So I might experience it. So I read that sign and actually... Some will go, absolutely no way, I have the freedom to make this choice, and I won't ever wear a mask ever again because that's my choice and I have the right to, because, yes, etc. And others will go, oh man, I feel guilty. But others will go, actually, just, you know, I have the freedom, but I'm going to wear the mask because I think it's a love act for others, because I know there'll be people concerned. So you're going to have all those range of how people are responding to it.
Yep.
And I think it just heightens our culture, isn't it? Of either we feel guilty because we want our freedom and, you know, it's not quite how we want it, or is it just an opportunity to show love, to express love in different ways?
Yeah, it's hard, doesn't it? I think, because I did wear a mask in that Sainsbury's, it's the one near you, Mark, and I was happy to wear a mask. I don't have any problem wearing a mask, I just think the messaging was rubbish, in that I'm not sure, because left to my personal choice, because I'm not really convinced masks have a significant material benefit, I think I'm only wearing it out of a kind of weird sense of peer pressure.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing it to love people.
Yeah.
And there are other contexts where I'm not wearing it if I'm not asked to. So I'm not sure it's quite as simple as if you love,
isn't that the sense though? Isn't that what love is? Because love is saying, actually, I don't actually think this is an issue or important, but I am aware that the culture I'm living in right now, there are a significant number who are concerned by it. Therefore, I'm not doing it because I'm peer pressured into it, but actually because I think I recognise that there's just a sense of uncertainty for people at this time. So for that sake alone, I'll do it. And I was just, you know, struck with those verses we were reading the other night, Philippians 2. Yeah. You know, it's that sense of, in humility, I value others above myself, not looking to my own interests, but each of us to the interests of the others. And I just wonder whether, as Christians, here is a chance to go, actually, I'm not concerned by peer pressure or what others think of me, because actually, you know, I'm confident in Christ, but actually what I am concerned about is, am I love? Is this an act of love? Now, I may decide that it's not an act of love, because actually the most loving thing to do is to not wear a mask, because actually, you know, I think it's not, you know, it's encouraging an unhealthy attitude in society, possibly.
Yes.
But I might also
I do think that.
Right.
Yeah.
But you say out of love for a wider culture, but then I might say, well, actually, but I also understand that people aren't there. Therefore, I'll wear it.
Yeah, the fact that you might be able to say either of those things is the issue, though, isn't it? Because then it leaves you in the middle, trying to decide which way to go with it.
But I think it drives the principle of what you're trying to do. So the principle is not guilt, and it's not peer pressure.
Sure. Yeah.
It's what I determine is the most loving thing to do for others.
Yeah.
Because I'm concerned for others, not for what I want or what I desire. Mm. And I think that's the crux, isn't it? When Christ calls me to love my neighbour, what's loving my neighbour look like in this context? It's got to be driven by what I think would be the best and most helpful and loving act for others.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it can't be driven by, I just feel peer pressured into this, or I feel guilty.
Yeah.
Because then I'm not living out of love for neighbours. I'm living out of guilt and duty, and that always will lead me to resentment, hatred.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just become frustrated at culture, or
yeah,
yeah.
No, I think that is actually very helpful, because what you're saying is essentially like less important than whether you wear a mask or not is the reason why you're doing it.
Yeah.
Which I think is very sensible and helpful to hear, for sure.
Agree that. In terms of churches, there is obviously lots of freedom for churches to decide, which is great in some ways, and it's challenging in others, because it puts a lot more responsibility in a way back on us. And to navigate the same thing as the supermarkets, trying to figure out what's the risk issue, but also what's the loving our customers issue that Sainsbury's are thinking about, and the loving our brothers and sisters issues that we're thinking about in church. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an interesting week.
Well, I mean, in terms of we can talk about what we have decided as a church.
Yeah, go for it.
In terms of all those things that Graham has said, in terms of thinking through our responsibility as to steward, and our, you know, what that looked like, and all our legal frameworks in there. But I think we, as a church family, will ease some of the restrictions. So we will be maintaining hand washing and asking of questions and expecting those with symptoms to stay away. But we will also not be wearing masks. We will be singing out of a sense of conviction of wanting to see fellowship and joy and kind of being able to praise and worship God in a way.
Yeah.
And we will allow people to sit where they want, but we are going to maintain some distance on the chairs for now. So it's a kind of a mixture of trying to balance, recognizing that we've got some in our church family who just be like, can't wait to get back to normal, others who are going to be a little bit concerned, and just sensing, you know, recognizing there's no moral judgment in that, but there is just difference, and difference is a good thing.
Yeah.
And we want to celebrate that actually we are made up of different personalities and different ways of thinking and being, and actually that's part of being a church family. So how do we love one another on all those extremes? And so going, you know, releasing some restrictions because we've got freedom, but also just trying to do that in a measured, responsible way.
Yeah, and it seems like debate is going to happen, isn't it? It's not like if debate happens, it's when it's going to happen, whether it happens in person or on different online forums. It's going to happen between Christians. So, what do you think about that? Like, I suppose we want to push, like, love and grace as a guiding principle in those conversations, which are inevitable.
We do, and I think you have different responsibilities, don't you? If you're a church leader, you obviously have to make some decisions.
Yeah.
And you have to try and exercise love and discernment and to some degree of bravery in going forward, because you're being principled about it. As you interact with other people at a personal level, that's a slightly different thing, where you're not leading people. As you interact as a church member, you've got responsibilities to other members, but also to respect the leaders. So there's lots of different relationships in which love will manifest itself in slightly different ways, because you've got different roles. But it is a debating point, or a series of debating points. And I think we all need to recognise our appetite for risk is different. Our scientific understanding is different. Our experience medically in life generally is different. Family culture, all kinds of things which influence us in our own personality, which you just can't deny. And it works. It cuts both ways.
Yeah.
It will make us more enthusiastic, less enthusiastic. So we can't just assume our way is the perfect way to approach it.
I think the thing to add is that in responding to others is not to judge, because this isn't a moral issue. So this isn't a right, wrong, sin, not sinned issue.
There's a danger that it's going to become that, isn't there?
Well, absolutely. So you end up, those who return, they're the good guys, and those who stay away, the bad guys. Or converse, you know, those who stay away, they're the good guys upholding the, you know, those who are returning, they're the bad guys who are the rebels. So that's not helpful language at all. It is just recognising there is difference, and recognising that in that difference we're seeking to be responsible. And you know, now there will come challenge, because, you know, it's always the pastoral challenge of there'll be some who are just comfortable at home. It's not that there's not a sense of fear. There's not a medical reason. They're just enjoying watching at home. And for those, you want to gently challenge and love them back in. And for others, you're just going to be patient as they kind of work it through and grow as they watch what's happening and ascertain. But I think just guarding our own tongues, how we speak, our own hearts towards others, not assuming that someone's just away because, you know, this is just banditry behavior, as it were, or that those who are returning are somehow, you know, just being rebellious and going against the government. I think just guarding our own hearts in those kind of things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we spent some significant time on that, but I think that's actually the right thing to do. It's an enormous change given the last, you know, year and a half that we've been through. And I think it's right that we spend some time on that. And probably we'll have more reflections on that in the coming... Well, actually, we won't, will we? Because it's the last Ordinary before summer. We'll have some post-summer reflections when we come back, maybe, on how that's gone. And it'll be interesting to see where we are, won't it, in 6 weeks' time or something when we come back together and what we're still doing differently or whether we're completely back to normal. Yeah, we'll have a chat about it again then, I reckon.
I bet that you thought it was nearly over, but we haven't started yet. It's just like on Sunday you thought we were done, but you still had communion left.
Well, it's summertime, which means we're having a break from Ordinary, but hopefully you can listen to some of the back catalogue that's still going to be there, and hopefully you'll still be attending church and engage with things. And we want to have a discussion now for the remainder of the podcast, which is, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, about summer and getting the most out of it when you're having a rest. Maybe we'll have some book recommendations and some thoughts on how to keep your spiritual life really buoyant and, I suppose, enthusiastic over the summer period. So, Mark, do you want to kick us off with... I don't know where you want to start. I'll let you have freedom to start where you want to start.
Well, yeah, I think rest is a really important thing. I think you see that in the Bible. And often the summer affords us opportunities to do that. And so for many, because of the rhythms of school life and school terms and holidays, end up having, you know, significant periods away.
Yeah.
And I guess this summer, there's a sense probably we need to think about just not becoming discontent because maybe it's not the holiday that we were hoping for, planning for, wanting, you know, for the second year going. You know, so I think we just, in terms of guarding our hearts, are there making the most of what we are able to do and can do. And I think that's going to be, I know my own heart just having to, you know, the disappointment of not being able to go away as we'd planned or hoped to or wanted to.
Yeah.
But trusting the Lord's purposes in that. But then just making the most of rest. So stopping maybe from work, enjoying family. But I think sometimes that takes intentionality to actually say, right, I am just going to really engage and slow down and not get caught up on my phone, but actually just enjoy a slower pace of life. For a few, you know, a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is. So I think that's just having that mindset is important. Where do you want to go next, Graham? You can play ping pong again.
Well, I think at least one pastor listens to Ordinary. So for pastors, I think it's been another really tough year coming up to the summer with COVID, or it's been a tough year, but it was quite tough going up to last summer holiday. But I think even more so because it's been, you know, longer period and all the dark winter and everything. And I suppose just accepting that we're not made of steel, and we do get quite worn down and broken by all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's for us as pastors. I think in lots of different other contexts, people have been kind of wrestling and struggling, sometimes just psychologically with limitations or uncertainties in job or having to work at home a lot, or having the children home for some of the time and then back, and then the whole isolation drama that school kids have been at. And I think rather than just say, well, let's just power through, you know, to kind of recognise it's pretty exhausting, and to kind of accept that.
Yeah.
And in God's providence, if there is some time to break, don't try and be a hero. You know, there is sacrifice and service, but there is also rest. So I'm not really ping-ponging at all. I'm just kind of repeating what Mark said. I think the other thing is to just set yourself a really low bar of, you know, reading a book or a couple of books, to say, I just might have a little bit of better leisure time. You know, I might be able to sit outside somewhere and read a book rather than do what I'm doing the rest of my life, sort of thing. So even if you don't read books normally, sometimes can be. It could be a fictional book and it's all fine, but it could be a Christian book. And they come in lots of shapes and sizes, don't they? You can read Christian biographies. You can read sort of topical books on a book of the Bible. And, you know, there's just loads. And I would just encourage everyone to think, God, I'd read just one book this summer holiday. Or set the bar a bit higher if you're a good reader. But yeah.
Yeah, and if you're looking for book recommendations, I mean, look no further than with Mr. M. Bentham, who is basically a bookshop.
Yeah. I think I'd quite enjoy being a, owning a bookshop.
I think you would, mate, yeah.
With a little coffee station in there as well.
Yeah.
I'd have, like, Friday Night Jazz, I think,
would
as
you?
Well. Just, oh. Yeah, it's kind of a thing. That'd be the whole experience. But anyway, that's you know, another...
That's for
give,
one
us
of the book,
give us some books to read over summer.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I think the first question to ask yourself is kind of think, okay, where is the Lord maybe calling me to grow in my Christian life? Is there an area that I actually... So it may just be there's an area that I really want to think about. It may be praying, maybe reading my Bible, maybe evangelism. It may be, you know, thinking about new ministry. It may be thinking about how I relate better to others. It may be a particular issue, parenting book, a marriage book. Is there a particular area that you're struggling with that actually you may just want to read and think about and pray about? So I think there's a first thing in those kind of things. If we're thinking about a really helpful book, if you're thinking about a book that just is going to stir your heart for Jesus, you cannot do any better. If you haven't read it already, Dane Ortlund's Gentle and Lowly. Graham is currently reading it as well.
Holding it up to the camera for us.
You can't beat it. And, you know, I think you just will win and feed your soul. That will just keep leading you to the Lord Jesus in that book. I think if you're thinking about evangelism, it depends how you want to think about it. You may be thinking, how do I personally engage and thinking about something like Evangelism in a Skeptical World by Sam Chan. Or you might be thinking 12 questions that an unbeliever, Rebecca McLaughlin, really helpful book. Yeah. She's just brought out one for teenagers as well. 10 questions that a teen should work. Really helpfully written, engaging with the big questions. That non-believers ask and written in a really helpful way just to think through. So that would be a good book. If you think about prayer, a little book by Julian Hardiman, Fresh Pathways in Prayer, very small, really helpful. I found it really helpful. My prayer life was just kind of struggling a little bit at the beginning of this year, read that, just really fueled me up and helped me to think again about how to pray, what we're doing. And he goes from kind of starting off small to kind of building back up, as it were, and how to do that. In those ways, if you're thinking about engaging in church relationships, Tim Lane and Paul Tripp's book, A Relationship's a Mess Worth Making, really helpful book to think about how you engage with others in a church family and all the issues that are around that. It's a bit of an older book, but well worth a read.
Marriage?
Marriage. Well, there's Keller's, The Meaning of Marriage.
Keller's is still
it's
very
a really
good.
Helpful book. Or if you're trying to work through more practically, Marriage Matters by Winston Smith, really helpful. Mm. But another one that is not Christian, but is actually can be really helpful, got lots of fun little quizzes and tests, is The 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work.
Hold on, get on, Mike. Say it again.
Oh, sorry. I was getting offline.
Get back over
here. The 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work by John Gottman. Not Christian, written by a guy who has done a lot of really helpful insights. And you can see how it connects to Proverbs, particularly some of the language there. And there's a really helpful sermon on our website by Nick, who draws on a lot of that material and links it to Proverbs as well. Where else would we want to go?
Well, I think anything by Tim Keller is pretty much anything is worth reading over the summer.
Yeah.
His topical books are fine. All the apologetic-y books are good. The commentaries are actually really good. I'm going through the Romans commentary with somebody at the moment.
Yeah.
It's in 2 books, but that's really good. And for personal reading, it's a fine book to read. It's very readable, and you know lots of other books of the Bible as well.
And to be honest, the Good Book Company do a great little series for you, and they're kind of Luke for you or Matthew. I don't think it's Matthew one, but John for you. Really good, helpful books to read through the Bible. The Tim Keller one in Romans is in that series. Biographies, Spurgeon by Dalymore, very small but really readable. Really encourages and fuels your heart. Billy Graham, Prophet.
That must be a bridge one, because the Dalymore one's really big.
The Dalymore, that's the Whitfield 2-volume one that you're thinking of, I think.
Oh, okay.
I've got
a 2-volume Spurgeon one by somebody.
Don't test Mark on books, Graham.
It may be Spurgeon. Yeah. You may be right. It may be wrong.
No, I shouldn't have stepped into the ring then.
Who else? What else is there to read that you could enjoy this summer? I think there's a lot there, eh?
There is a lot there, yeah. Yeah.
Who's one of your favourite authors, Josh?
I mean, I read a lot of John Lennox, as you would have guessed.
You do. And apart from his one on Calvinism, I would recommend all of his books.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Okay, fair enough. That one. Yeah, so, okay, that's good. Book recommendations, carve out some time to read. It's a great time of the year to be able to do that. Any other reflections you want to have?
Yes.
Yeah, go for it, Mark.
Carve out time to read the Bible. The biggest, often I find the struggle over the summer, is that your normal Bible reading patterns just go out the window. So you may need to be a bit more creative. Maybe read a bit smaller. Maybe read with your whole family. If you don't do that normally, good time to restart family devotion times, just reading a few verses through a book of the Bible. Maybe read with your wife if you don't do that. Or listen online to the Bible being read to you whilst you go for a walk by the sea, or as you lie on your sunbed. You know, read, allow the Psalms to be read to you, or a book of the Bible. But allowing that time to read the Bible to and spend time in prayer with the Lord, just talking through, really good opportunity just to slow down and reflect on the year. Where is it the Lord may be challenging us? Maybe where is he leading us? Maybe there's some new things he wants to work on our hearts, areas that he wants to bring under the Lordship of Christ. So I think there's just a chance to reflect and think and ponder in those times as well.
Yeah, that's good.
What I've done recently is to go really slow, and it might be just because I'm being lazy, but I'm trying to read a book at the same time, but to go really slow in the Bible. So, and just have a notebook like this one I'm holding up, which is a small notebook, just to write down anything. It's not really very exciting, you know, it's all scrappy, but to maybe just do one verse, two verses, and just say anything interesting in those verses. And it's surprising when you go really slow, you just see different things. So I'm not recommending that as an all year round thing, but just every now and then,
no, really helpful.
Going slow through a book of the Bible, not sort of taxing yourself too much in terms of loads of content, but just thinking, oh, what does Paul pray for there? What does he expect there? Well, that's interesting. You know, just anything. It might only just be a sentence you write.
Yeah.
And
but that's the great choice here, being a set yourself challenge with. So maybe just read through. You can either go one verse very slowly, or you can say, do you know what, I'm just going to read through Ephesians or Colossians or 1 Timothy over these next 2 weeks and just see what the Lord says and speaks to me.
Yes. And if I may, a few podcast recommendations.
Nice.
I mean, especially if you're going for a little holiday and you drive in there, you might have some hours to fill. You know, one
Ordinary.
That you can't go wrong with is Unbelievable, which we've talked about before, which is a premiere radio podcast with Justin Briley. Very good. Loads and loads and loads and loads of episodes, like hundreds of episodes, with all kinds of different people on all kinds of different topics that are apologetic related. Again, on that line, Reasonable Faith, I really enjoy. If you want to stretch yourself philosophically, that is a really good one. That's William Lane Craig's podcast. If you want something to do with music, Christian music, there's this podcast called Listen to This, which is essentially the host speaking to a different band or artist each week about a Christian band or artist, about what they're doing, the music they're writing, the inspiration for that, and kind of, yeah, just all things music. He recently had on Zach from Citizens, which was, a big Christian band, and that was a really good podcast. Have I got any other Christian ones that I think are worth talking about? Maybe not. I've got some non-Christian ones that are great too, but I don't know if you guys have any other podcast recommendations.
I think the Ask Pastor John is a bit, it's a bit old now, but it's still really good stuff in it.
Yep. What about John Piper? Yeah. What about that Gospel? Is there Gospel Coalition one?
You've got a variety of ones, but yeah.
Yeah. That's solid as well. Oh, and the Bible Project, I like to listen to every now and then. It's quite, they're quite long podcasts and quite gritty, but they're really good. They do deep dives on different books and different themes.
There's the White Horse one. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think it's called White Horse.
I've not heard of that one.
I think the White Horse Inn, because I think some Christians that are in Oxford or something years and years ago met in the White Horse Inn pub. And so they called these guys in America, Michael Horton and various others. That is worth listening to. It's two or three guys. I mean, they're probably for a slightly older audience, as in it's not like sort of teen and 20s friendly, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. And they chat about theological issues.
Lovely.
Really, really good.
Well,
and then two, one would be Faith in Kids, do a great one for parenting.
Okay, cool.
Just thinking about that. And the other one would be Where Life and Scripture Meet, which is a CCEF kind of podcast, kind of talking about lots of heart issues, struggles.
Nice.
And how to connect with Scripture.
There's so much out there. There's just so much content. You just got to figure out what you want to read and listen to this summer and dive in, right? There's so much out there, which is amazing.
And I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to listen to it on the way to my holiday.
Nice. Perfect. And of course, I mean, there is a Lion of Judah episode if you want to listen to that one, Graham.
Is there one?
There's a two-parter with the great Lion of Judah. Yeah. But no, there's lots of others.
Jesus himself.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't
he the great Lion of Judah?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, got to be careful, haven't I? There you go. So, lots of recommendations, lots of content. Any other final thoughts before we call it a day for 6 weeks, guys?
And the end of season three.
Yeah, the end of season three. We want to hear from people, don't we? It'll be nice to hear people's thoughts on this season, things they liked, things they didn't like, as long as it's not too offensive. And we'll, you know, use those comments. They do really help us actually to build our plans for the future and what we're going to be doing.
Yeah. Whilst you're lying on the beach and you think of topics that you want us to cover, email us in.
Email us, please.
Graham will be reading his emails all the way through the summer, so don't worry. He'll love it. Forward it
on. My summer holiday, I actually do stop reading emails. It's the only holidays I do.
There you go.
It's brilliant. It's good practice.
Me too.
And it's been great working with you, Josh, through to parenthood.
I know. Tell me about it. My first holiday as a parent is going to be coming up, so I'll give you a debrief of that.
Look forward to that.
Yeah. Cool.
Look forward to that. Yeah.
You're a nice little stage. You're not quite at the food throwing stage.
No, you can't throw things yet. No.
I remember going on holidays and being just embarrassed with my kids because they're at that stage. You know, you go in a restaurant, you ask for a high chair, child screams, everyone tuts.
Yeah.
You're not quite
there. Not quite there yet. Looking forward to it.
They're still tutting. They're still tutting about my children all over the place.
All over the world.
All over the world.
That's it. Episode over, season over, another season of Ordinary done. We were serious about getting in touch with us if you have thoughts, comments, questions, ordinary@cchh.org.uk. We really do love hearing from you. I want to say thank you to the girls last week, Abby for hosting and Keturah and Sarah for being on the podcast. They did a fantastic job and we definitely want to do more of that in the future. So do enjoy your summer breaks. Let us know what you're reading, listening to. We'd like to hear your recommendations. And come back after the summer holidays for a brand new season of Ordinary.